Gerald McCoy Show. Now, Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and your host, Scott Ledger.
Why don't you bring us in for once?
Yeah. No, it's just my laugh. This is how I'm started.
Is that like an evil laugh, a happy laugh? I've had an interesting week there,
yeah,
93.
Man.
First of all, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to
you, too.
It is a time of year to, well, we'll talk all about the things that are going on, of course, everything to go on with Christmas, both religious and on this side of it, holiday shopping. We are live, of course, at Raymond James Stadium at the Holiday Team Gift Store. That's on the west side entrance, Dale Mabry side, right there at the club level. We'll be broadcasting live. You can catch us at Buccaneers.com, by the way, but... And we'll get into Christmas a little later, and we'll talk about how much that faith means to you with everything you got going on. But first and foremost, we got to address it. It was rough watching you run into that tunnel.
Yeah.
Because when you're running into the tunnel, it usually means they're going to check something that they can't keep. You know what I mean? It's an X-ray, it's an MRI, that kind of stuff. So take me back to the play that happened specifically. And, of course, what we're talking about for you listening, if you're not familiar, that Gerald has a torn left bicep. And your surgery will take place tomorrow, but we'll talk about that. But how did that happen? Was second quarter?
First
quarter.
Yeah, second drive of the
second
game.
Second drive.
And going down, it was a down block. Basic run play, it was a bend back. And I beat the tackle down. And I actually planted and got in the backfield. And the running back cut off the tackle. Reached out my left arm to try and slow him down because I knew it would be hard to make that play. But, you know, coach always talks about making that extra play, making that impossible.
Sure, in other words, you might not get him down, but you might slow him down.
Right. Yep. I tried to slow him down because that was a huge gap there. And, I reached back and I felt my arm, kind of pop back and I pulled it out immediately. And it actually didn't even hurt that bad. I felt it and it felt like my arm was cramping. So I said, I got to get off the field. I won't be able to put my hand there because my arm is tightening up. So I ran off, and I yelled, so the trainers could, come over there. And I looked at my arm, and it was, like, pulsing at the bottom of, my bicep.
Where your bicep meets your elbow.
Right. And it was pulsing. And, I'm thinking, I see pulsing. I'm thinking it's just cramping up, like pulled hamstring.
Sure.
And
Or if you've ever had a calf cramp,
right.
You watch a calf ball up. When you get a calf cramp, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
And they said, does it feel like a cramp? I said, yeah. So I immediately thought it was a cramp in my arm. Well, head trainer, Todd came over there and he looked at my arm. He said, oh. And I said, oh, what's all mean?
Oh, man.
He said, yeah, you probably done for the day. Oh. And I was like, done for the day? He said, yeah, we're going to get you in and get an x-ray. I said, I don't have time for an x-ray. I got to go back in. So I try to go back in. He's like, no, look at your arms. I looked down at my arm, and it was, like, rolling up as I was watching. I just watched it roll up and get higher and higher. And me, in denial, kept saying, oh, it's just a cramp. So they was like, well, let's go in. I said, well, let's hurry up so I can get back out. Go in, get the x-ray, and they tell me, it's probably off the bone. And probably going to have surgery to fix it, so you probably done for the year. And I was like, nah, can't be.
I got one good arm.
Yeah. But they said it may feel like you can play, but if you go out there and try and use that arm, people will be able to break it down real easy. Can't have that. So there you go.
Yeah, we'll get to the surgery. First of all, that whole idea is what's the whole diagnosis? Partially torn. What have you been told?
No, it's torn off. Okay. It's torn off the bone.
Completely.
Kind of what it is, you can they kind of give an example of it being like a jacket, like how you button your jacket. If you unbutton it, that's kind of what happened to the muscle. It tore off, and they just have to button it back up. So they got to take where it tore off and put it back on it. Where it tore off on my arm, there's a huge bruise there, and there's a knot where something's supposed to be. So they're just going to go in and put it back on. And great thing about this injury is once they repair it, it'll be like it never happened. I won't lose strength. It won't set me back. Just get it fixed and come back.
That's the Gerald McCoy Show. That's the voice of Gerald McCoy. You're listening to the Gerald McCoy Show. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Want to get on and talk to him. We're going to be here for a whole hour. Give us your input on the game. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We'll take all your phone calls and questions. Pinellas at 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. As we come to you live, by the way, and we'll be here with Donald Penn. Donald Penn will be our guest tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. The rehab. How long is the rehab, you've been told? Is it 3 months? Is it 6 months? When can you start practicing and playing football? You know, next spring? What are we looking at?
Well, I'm not sure, man. I won't miss any team events. Of course, when we make the playoffs, I probably won't get to play in the playoffs. But, you know, back when OTA starts and workouts and stuff, I'll be back by then.
13 guys on IR,
two at a time each
starters.
Week.
We've lost seven starters on this team, and we're right here. We're right in the playoff
front. Right there, man.
With three to play.
What
does that say about your head coach?
That's what I was saying earlier in the year, man. It shows how much depth we have with this team and, you know, how hard we fight and how much everybody bought in to Coach Raheem Morris and Mr. Dominic's vision. And, you know, Coach Morris always says all hands on deck, meaning he needs everybody, all 61, not just 53 game day roster guys, because you never know what will happen. Just like this, nobody expected this. I definitely didn't. I've never been injured, so I don't, you know, I didn't expect to be injured. You know, you got to be ready because you never know your number will be called.
You kind of put that out for me right there. I was just going to ask you that. Adversity, everybody gets it in their lifetime. You know, we'll talk. You know, Brett Favre plays 297 consecutive games.
Yeah.
You know, you get 13 under your belt, and you got to start a new streak. But this is, you know, you've got a short career so far. So is this the most adversity you faced?
As far as football, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never had an injury. I sprained my AC joint in college, but I was out for a week for that, two weeks.
Yeah, it's a nagging injury.
As a defensive lineman, that's just something you just got to say. You know,
you play with it.
Either I'm going to play with it or I'm not. And I did. So eventually it just healed and just kept on going.
What do you see is going to be your role for the next 2 or 3 weeks here on this team, in this locker room, around one buck?
Positive attitude.
Yeah.
Positive attitude and just staying focused. And that's even on the season. You know, I'm going to try and make it to the, you know, film and practices. And, you know, that way if I see something that I think I can help one of my fellow D linemen with, then I'm going to tell him. You know, like Coach said, he needs everybody.
I'm going to use the example of E.J. Biggers, by the way. Biggers was here last year, hurt his shoulder. And the reason E.J.'s playing so well this year is he was on IR all of last year. But what he did was he came to class, if you would, and studied film, asked questions of players that were playing every week. Even though he wasn't going out there and playing, he used that 1 year's downtime to actually educate himself. And now E.J. Biggers, by the way, and we'll talk about him, what a heck of a game from this guy.
Yeah.
Step up and, this is Donovan McNabb. This is the Redskins. And this is a guy who's asked to fill the shoes of a elite corner in this team. But E.J.'s playing well because he used that downtime. And you can use the same thing. Yeah, I want you to comment, of course, on how well he played as well. But you can get the same thing from the last 4 weeks for you as well, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Definitely going to stay in the classroom and still try and improve each week. You know, stay focused, watch the guys, and, you know, stay locked in, just like as if I have to play on Sunday.
Isn't it neat to be talking about the playoffs? Isn't it neat to legitimately be mentioning what we called the P word a couple of weeks ago? We didn't actually say it.
Right.
But it's funny how the NFL works. You know, a couple of these teams, we were talking with one of your big-time fans here before the show started, the Giants and the Packers and the Eagles. They got a tough sled. Like sometimes they're playing each other. Sometimes they're playing teams like the Ravens or the Steelers or the New England Patriots who are red hot. And you guys have 2 or 3 at home. Against teams that, you know, are going to come in here. They don't have as much to play for. This is a very good scenario, a great setup, I guess you could say, for this team for the next 3 weeks, man. This is going to be exciting around here.
Yeah, it is. We hold our own destiny in our own hands. You know, that's as simple as that. what happens at the end of the season depends on if we want it or not. It's sitting right there for us to take. We just got to go take it. A win is a win. We got the win how
we got it. Well, we're going to talk about it, man. We'll come back and talk about the game. That was a fun game to watch.
We got it how we got it, but we did get it. And, you know, it's just one more step closer for our race to 10. But, you know, we shooting for, you know, winning out the rest of the season.
It was you guys are a second-half D, and you got a fourth-quarter quarterback, man. That's a great – that's a recipe for drama, let me tell you.
Definitely,
what that is.
Right?
That is a second – you guys – by the way, that touchdown they scored, that had they had to use pretty much – I don't know, four and a half, maybe five downs. Depends on how you look at it. if they don't score that, that would have been your sixth second-half shutout this year for your defense.
And
okay?
Yeah. K2, Kellen Winslow, he said on the sideline, and this is after, you know, after he scored that amazing touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
He came to the sideline and was like, you know what, man? This whole football thing is crazy. And then – they went down and they scored, and you know, they muffed it, extra point, all that. He said, "This football thing is crazy. You just never know what to expect. That's why this game is so fun."
Yeah. Exactly. Sure.
He did that. And he was like, "Man, this football thing is crazy." Then they did that. He said, "Man, this football thing is crazy. This level. That's what makes the NFL so much fun to watch." And and I wish everybody could have the experience to get to play. You know, it's a lot. It's much more fun when you get to play.
You've had a fun rookie year, dude. Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
This rookie year has been a great ride, a young team.
You know, the future is incredibly bright for this team.
Yeah.
And as fans, see, you watch the game a little different. We got to hit a break, but you do. You know, I mean, every time he's running the sideline just going, "This football thing's crazy," we're going – you know, we're pulling our hair out on the sideline going, "Oh, my God, this," or "Oh, my God, that," or "How did that happen?" Or, "Oh, I can't believe, you know, we get a touchdown to Ben. No, they mark it at the one. Oop. We cough the ball up the next play." You know, that crazy bit, that part we could do without. That's tough.
Right.
That is
fun to watch, though.
Yeah, you know, but
it's nerve-wracking, but
I don't
it's
know,
fun
maybe
to
it's
watch.
Just I'm a little older. Maybe my heart can't take it. Maybe that's it. All right, guys, we'll come back, and we're going to talk about that Redskin victory. A lot of fun, a lot of great plays to talk about. If you guys want to get in, Chad and Jeremy, they were a singing group from the 60s, so it can't be the same two people. But they are Shepherd Callers. They're coming on in. They are up first. We got room behind them, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS, Gerald McCoy. Just, you know, the bottom line is when you talk about people in the NFL, you always wonder what they're like off the field. And let me tell you, this guy's going through it. A great rookie season, kind of cut short with an injury. But, you know, he's stepping up, doing his radio show. And let me tell you, man, you haven't changed your demeanor once since I've known you. And that's how I know that your faith and your foundation are just are totally there for you. I get it. I get it. I really do. All right, guys, we're coming back here. We're going to talk about a lot of things, man. Brett Favre, Tashard Choice. And his autograph.
What in the world
exactly.
was he doing?
Exactly. So we'll come back and do more of that in a couple of minutes right here on the Buccaneers Network.
Teacher.
Now return to the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Buccaneers Radio Network and the Gerald McCoy Show. Every Tuesday night, we take your phone calls, 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Chad and Jeremy, we're coming, and Phil, we're coming right to you in a second. You know that I don't know. Honestly, if I ever see you at the end of a game that we just lost a tough game to the Falcons and you run up and you ask Matt Ryan to autograph some gloves, I think I'm just going to be a little mad
at
you.
Hey, look, as soon as I seen it, I called my boy Derek Morgan, who Chart Choice went to school with at Georgia Tech. He actually went to OU first. He went to Oklahoma first. But there was a running back that came in 2004. And you guys might know him. Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, AP.
So, you know, he decided to transfer. And he transferred to Georgia Tech. He had a great career there. Been playing well for the Cowboys, so I called, you know, Derek Moore. I was like, "Man, did you see your boy?" And he said, "What do you do?" I said, "He walked up to Michael Vick and asked for an autograph on national TV."
after just losing a close game to one of your division foes.
Now, look, I understand being a fan. You know, I'm a fan. I'm starstruck every time I see one of these players. The only reason I wasn't starstruck when I seen Donovan McNabb is because I've met him before. But, you know, I just don't see myself. If we lose that game last week, I don't see myself going up and saying, hey, Donovan, you think I can, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Neither. Well, you did say you were looking forward to Ray Lewis running out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Because there are some very large personalities in the NFL. Right. Sure, I can stand in awe of Michael Vick. I don't have to run up to him right after he just beat me.
Yeah.
You know, I can have one of the team representatives send him a letter, say, could you sign these?
You can say good game, whatever. But
exactly.
You don't go up to another. Yeah. You don't do that.
That was a tough one to watch. That was a tough one to watch. All right, guys, thanks for hanging on. We're going to the phones. First up is Chad in Newport Richey. How you doing, Chad? Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys, great show, man.
Thank you.
Gerald,
what's up, Chad?
I just want to say great year, buddy. It's been a heck of a ride, man, watching you progress all season long, man, from the first game till now. It's a shame to see you go down like this, but I know, given your faith, your character, you're going to come back stronger than ever. And it's really a pleasure, man, to have someone to look up to in this community that everyone can rally around and know that we have one heck of a leader for the next decade or so on that defensive line, man. But I just wanted to say thank you for everything you've done since you've been here. Good luck on your rehab and come back strong, man.
Appreciate that, Chad. It's good to hear your fans or, you know, anybody
thick and thin,
supporting
man.
You.
Thick and thin. That's a fan.
I've had my ups and downs this whole season. And, you know, fans have stuck with me. They haven't given up on me. And as I started to get better, you know, the fans started to root harder. Well, it's been cut short, but the fans, they still haven't given up on me. And they, you know, backing me. And it feels good.
Well, I was just talking to a couple of these guys right here. They've been here for a lot of the shows. And I said, you know, it's convenient for some people to swing by sometimes a little bit more than others. But when you see the familiar faces over and over and over again, that's
right.
Your core
yeah.
fan. That is the guy that lives and dies and bleeds that Buccaneer blood. And those are the people that know the backgrounds. And if I walked up to one of these guys right here and I said, name me three offensive linemen, I bet you they could name me five. And those are the people. That is the core Buccaneer fan. Now, everybody else will be back, and they're coming back because you guys are bringing them back.
Right.
But those are the fans, and those are the guys that'll make you send you an email once asking about how's that rehab going, you know,
and
things like that. So we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to Jeremy all the way across the country in Anaheim, California. Jeremy, welcome to the Gerald McCoy Show.
How's it going, Big GM, Gerald McCoy?
What's up, Jeremy?
How's it going? I'm a big fan of the Bucs. Been a Bucs fan since Ward Young ended the league. I've been with Shelton Curls, Hardy Nickerson, and throughout, like, Dexter Jackson. I've been up and down with the Bucs. But I was there last game when you were out here in San Francisco and when you guys pitched the shutout. And what I see was you just dominating the middle. It was just like they couldn't stop you. And, like, it was just like watching that game was like it was the best because, you know, I got the 49ers fans cheering against me and stuff like that. But it was just seeing you guys, Bucs, playing, like, the best defense of all year, and it was just, like, a good feeling seeing that and seeing you guys after the game. You know, that was just, like, the ultimate feeling for a Bucs fan like me because I've been through the ups and downs, ins and out, in and out of playoffs and stuff like that. So I want to give you some words of wisdom, like, just keep your head up, you know, even though you got this injury, you know, we're real young right now, and where we're going to be at in a couple of years is no telling. I hope it's a couple of Super Bowls. But you should always keep your head up, and, you know, it's always going to get better for you. Times get rough, but God never puts nothing ahead of you that you can't handle. And good luck to the Bucs this year.
Appreciate it, Jeremy.
Good stuff, Jeremy. Appreciate the phone call. You know, they keep talking about signature wins in the NFL, and I think there's different levels of signature wins. I think this Frisco victory was your first signature win as a young team because it was one of those West Coast things. It
first
was a
shutout.
It was one
the
of the
first shutout for a lot.
It was a team you were supposed to beat.
Rondé's first got a, you know, was it 40 picks?
He's got
25 sacks.
26 sacks and his
something
40th
like
pick. He got his 40th.
You know what I'm saying? He's first to do that. My first career sack.
That's a signature week. Yeah. He saw a good first, game. Yeah. He's going to remember that one forever.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Going back to the phones, Phil on a cell phone in, cell phone in St. Pete. Welcome to the show, bro.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Mr. McCoy, we're wishing you a quick and speedy recovery. We're praying for you out here, brother. We appreciate everything you do. I had a question. I wanted to ask you guys. I get a little nervous about the running game when I see kind of an unknown running team that was going 10 yards a clip against us, and I was wondering what we were doing defensively that allowed them to do that.
Honestly, that could have been – a lot of it was just tackling, just being honest. I had a play where I could have made a play in the backfield, and I slid off the running back, and it went for 10, something like that. I mean, a lot of it was just tackling. Some people, bad fits at times, people sliding everywhere and just, you know, some miscommunication and something that should not have happened. It kind of threw, you know, a wrench in the plan when I went down because coach had to put Mike Bennett in, who is a defensive end, who also played well at three technique during the game. Not saying he didn't play well because he played very well. But they had to change up a lot of the plan because they had a lot of stuff set, you know, planned around. You know, they had different calls where I would do certain things, but they had to change some stuff up and go more basic, you know, because I was out. But, you know, a lot of it was just tackling. It was raining. Instead of wrapping guys up, guys were just hitting and sliding off the guy. I mean, you got to wrap and roll when you tackle. And that's really what was it, man. It was just – you see holes, just big holes opening up, man. Guys just running lateral instead of getting upfield and penetrating. And that was across the board on defense. Even when I was in, we were running too lateral instead of getting upfield and disrupted.
Yeah. Instead of, in other words, you want to be running at an angle, not directly towards the sideline.
Right, you're running sideline to sideline. That's what they do. They're a zone team. They look for holes. Mm-hmm. Like the Houston Texans. What's his name? Arian Foster.
Yeah.
I mean, they run that hard zone, and he just finds a hole, and he hits it.
Well, that's Mike Shanahan did that in Denver for years. I mean, that was their scheme.
That's what it is.
You know, I'll use an example of footing, too. I remember, I think it was a screen pass to Sellers off to the right, and E.J. Biggers had him in the flat, and he literally ran up, and he was getting ready to break down.
He
was just trying to break down.
He just failed.
And his feet went right out from under him, and it was like
slippery
a 15-yard play. So sometimes it was footing, and other times bad fits and bad tackling. That's a bad combination.
Right, it's a bad combination.
But the upside is you end up giving like 24 yards rushing the whole second half.
Yeah.
They never get past midfield until the final drive.
Yeah.
They never got past midfield the whole second half. And these are the adjustments where, you know, when we look at what your head coach asks you to do and the execution, I think is it a combination of maybe some of the things that are changed on the X's and O's, and then the rest of it is,
just
you know,
pride,
what?
Man.
I got to wrap up and tackle.
It's just
I got to get back to my basics.
It's just our defense saying, look, why does this one guy have 170, 180 yards in the first half on us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they said, well, this has to stop now if we want to win this game. That's all it was. They went out there. They made those tackles. They made those fits and the things they needed to do. They did it.
It seems like we've had different young guys step up at various times. Sometimes we've had, for instance, LeGarrette Blount and Mike Williams in the Arizona game both had their first 100-yard games as a receiver and a running back, respectively. This time around, Aurelius Benn is the man who gets four catches for 122 yards and should have a touchdown. You know, it's another one of those down at the one-yard line and touched. But if you look at the replays, inertia did take him and the ball past the goal line. Yeah. That's why the fumble hurts so much.
That's why the fumble hurts.
Because it was a touchdown.
And I messed around and yelled and threw my arm up and forgot I was hurting. You know, you know, it was just overly excited. Then I see them lined up, and they fumble, and everybody's like, yeah. And I said, what are they cheering for? Then we just get the extra point, and I looked up. I said, oh, wait a minute. We didn't score? So, I mean.
That was like an instant replay of the Arizona game.
Yeah, man. That's this game, though.
Well, the spots in the NFL are getting a little spotty, if you don't mind my pun there. But it turns out at the end, they had a first and 10 from the 12, and the marker was set at the 3 instead of the 2. So they were given a first down when they shouldn't have. And everybody on the field just thought it was first down. So to both sides of the field, it was no big deal. No one was yelling, oh, my God, there's a fifth down. It was about where it was marked and whether one was given. And I kept thinking to myself, would I want them to have the first down? And I would say, yeah, because if they didn't get the first down, that means another half a yard gives them four more plays. So the idea that they get the first down and they only got four more left now, that's it. They're all first and goals or from the two. But if they don't give them the first down and they're at the three-yard line, another yard, what if that could give them essentially seven shots at the end zone. So it's not like I like the way it transpired, but and with the karma of the ball going through the holder's hands, I think everything worked out that well.
Right.
But, you know, that I guess, you know, when fans are paying attention to games, I know you guys are in the middle of a game, but there was no talk on the sideline either way. I didn't see anybody throwing their hands up. It just seemed like, you know, I saw the coach going third down calls or fourth down calls.
Yeah. Right?
So where you were, there was no controversy, correct?
No.
Okay.
No,
just want to make sure.
Nope.
Just want to make sure.
It was the first down on the 10.
It was the first down on the 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. It was a first down on the 10.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. All right, let me ask you about the playoffs. When you came in as a young – oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, you're helping me. I like that. Tony, welcome to the show. You're on with Gerald McCoy.
Hey, what's up, Gerald? I just want to say two things real quick, and I'll let you guys go. I just want to say I hope you have a great recovery, and I wanted to ask you how frustrating it is. Is it to be on the sideline, have to watch the rest of the season? And two, how much bragging rights do you have of your old teammate Sam Bradford after the Bucks beat the Rams?
It's always fun to, you know, beat your old teammates. I played against all of them this year, actually, and I've won all of them. Beat Trent last week, beat Sam, we played the Rams, and beat Jermaine when we played Cincinnati. So, you always want those bragging rights. I'm just happy we got those wins. And I'm a competitor. I love this game. I don't think people really realize how much I love to play this game and how much I desire to be out there on the field. So, you know, when you see a situation like they were in the fourth quarter where they needed to stop.
That's going to be hard to watch.
Those are the times where you really want to be out there.
Well, I know you really do, but what are you actually going through on the sideline? Take me inside your head. How is that hard? That's going to be hard to handle.
Yeah, I was watching, and I was just like, man, you know, I feel I could help somehow, you know, whether it's occupying two guys because I'm, you know, penetrating or somehow I feel I could help. And you just want to go out there and do what it is you can, even if you don't get the sack or, you know, you don't get the quarterback to scramble out, you're helping somebody else get there. And it's a key point in the game. And you know, you just want to do what you can to help your team. And me loving the sport and me being a team guy, it just sucks to sit on the side and watch them have to go through that.
You've never been a spectator at Oklahoma?
No. Nah.
And you weren't a spectator in high school?
Nope.
That's got to be, you know, and we will get to that a little later on the program and how you apply other parts of your life. Let me ask you about Brett Favre's streak now. That's 297 games. I don't know, are you old enough to remember A.C. Green played for the Lakers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think he had a streak of about 1,100 some odd games where he played straight.
Ooh.
Yeah, not bad, huh, for the NBA?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Ripken's over 2,000.
Yeah.
What do you think's most impressive?
This game is tough, man, and there's a lot of injuries. And to be at a position, you know, I'm a defensive lineman, and it's rough down there in the middle playing defensive tackle. It's the trenches. Everybody calls, you know, it's the roughest part. I think the hardest position to play on a team is quarterback because when you mess up, everybody knows. When you make a mistake, it's clear to see. And the object of the game is for people to kill you. So when that's your job is to avoid getting killed and to make sure that something happens, the game is made with you. You know, they snap the ball to you, you have to hand it off. They snap the ball to you, you have to throw it. You have to call the timeout. You do all that. You have to run the offense, avoid sacks, don't throw interceptions, all types of different things. And he did all that. He played. It's not like he just played all those games. He played great, won a Super Bowl, fought through injuries, and he stayed out there as tough as his game is. So, I mean, there's a lot that you can take from.
I'm sure that if they put a video collection together of some of his sacks that he's taken, you would wonder how he ever even got up from that sack or that sack or that sack. Yeah.
Last year in that championship game, he was getting hit so hard. I mean, so many times. I don't know. I mean, there would be times where people have to carry him to the next play. But, I mean, he'd go out there and make that throw. Just a tough guy and, you know, a great professional.
Well, the end of your career is a long ways away.
Definitely.
Let's say it's 13, 14 years away.
Sure.
And you get to that point where your body is starting to say no, but your mind and heart are like, I'm still playing football. Yeah. You can't tell me no, no, no.
Your body can say no.
You know, it's like the heart of the line.
Saying do it.
The heart of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's misunderstood a little?
What his body is telling him?
Well, no. It's just you think. See, some people think that Brett Favre maybe played a little too long and came back. But I kind of look at it a little differently now.
People, I mean, Brett Favre does things.
How do you walk away from something you love so much?
He does things the way he does it. But when he loves the sport as much as he does, he's not going to stop playing it until he's ready. And, you know, Brett Favre is one of those guys who he has to go through something really bad to get him to just stop. And otherwise, he's not going to. I'm sure he wanted to play this game, but, you know, he talked about not even having feeling in his fingers and, you know, all that. So
yeah, the pictures of the blue the blue hand had me convinced.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He probably needs to sit down.
Yeah. And I got to ask you about the roof collapsing in Minnesota. Have you
– crazy.
I've
seen it.
Did you ever have a game moved to high school because there was a blizzard or college? Or,
no.
I mean, the NFL has had to adapt this year, huh?
Yeah. Cold is cold and – That's football. That's what we choose to play.
All right, Mike, stand by. We're coming to you next. Get on the phones. We'll talk a little bit more about the Bucs comeback, Josh Freeman's fourth quarter big plays. I got to tell you, there's a lot of good big offensive plays on this offense right now for Josh Freeman and some of the young wide receiving core and Cadillac Williams with some key plays and Connor Barth with some key kicks. This was a total team victory as we took on the Washington Redskins and got that win. We're coming back here right here. Get on those lines, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Coming back with more of the Gerald McCoy Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
DAEFUS 1035.
Welcome back, everybody. Gerald McCoy Show. We're coming to you from the Holiday Team Store. That is the west side of Raymond James Stadium. Dale Mabry, if you come in the club entrance, right inside, you'll see all the wonderful Buccaneers merchandise on sale, all kinds of jerseys, hats, autographable stuff. I kind of like the golf hats, actually. They got those Buccaneer, like those straw hats.
Yeah,
I like those very, very much. They're open 3 to 8 daily, and, of course, the shows are emanating here all week long. Got to ask you, next man up, next man up. But we're also getting some young performances.
Right.
We already talked about Regis, but in a close game like that, in bad weather, wet, slippery ball, wet, slippery field, what can you say about Connor Barth, man? The guy's money.
He is. You know what I like about that is when we got off the plane, when we got Washington, I asked him, I said, is it harder kicking in the rain? I mean, I asked him, how do kickers kick anyway? He said, I aim it before I even take my steps back. And, I mean, you kick it where you aimed at. You already have an aim, so you just run and kick it. And it kicks where you aimed it. He said he's done it so many times, it happens so fast. Well, I asked him, well, is it different in the rain? Because it's supposed to be raining. He said, oh, it's a little different, but nothing I can't handle. Obviously, he was right.
You ever try to kick a ball in the rain? The plant foot, the foot you land on right next to it. If you don't have any footing, man, it's coming right out from under you.
You ever tried to kick a ball not in the rain?
Yeah, I used to play soccer. I used to play soccer. So I know that much. But, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Connor Barth, in a game you win by a point, and especially, you know, it was kind of the yin and yang of kickers there, bro. I mean, Connor Barth has an amazing, amazing game, and their kicker, unfortunately, misses two chip shots. Yanks an extra point. He almost missed the first extra point, by the way. I think most people didn't notice that one. And he barely made his only field goal. So, essentially, all of his kicks were horrible, and he managed 4 points, and he left 10 on the field. But the point is, when we got the ball, Josh Freeman, You know, other quarterbacks are be given are now being given credit. As you know, Matty Ice is a great nickname, but Josh Freeman is slowly cementing himself as a guy who doesn't seem to get rattled, bro. You know, you keep looking for we're down by 10. We need to get. There's no urgency in his eyes, his cadence, the way the players, the way he treats the players. It just seems like the whatever he's got going on inside is made of the type of guy that you want as your leader, and we see leaders. By the way, we got almost a full boatload of calls. We're coming to Mike, Bill, Todd, and John. I just got to ask you about Free. He's just been playing great.
Yeah, I think he was, 15 for 25 or 266, something like that.
Yeah.
That's amazing in the rain for a guy who's basically a rookie, under pressure. He's facing another great and Donovan McNabb, you know, quarterback's face off from what they say. And he did well, man. Fourth quarter, he needed to make the throws, and he did. He always seems to find that guy down the field because he's got such a big arm, but he's becoming even more and more accurate.
Yeah, I think secondaries are starting to get a little nervous when they start to see Josh get more than 3 or 4 seconds, because not only do you have Mike Williams on one side, Aurelius is now turning into a deep threat. Kellen Winslow down the middle with that awesome touchdown catch. That throw, that catch, that's a great throw and a great catch. So that's an NFL touchdown. Great throw, great catch, and great run.
Yeah.
And when, you know, you start game planning for this Buccaneer offense,
right,
you got more than one
weapons.
Name to worry There's about.
So
now.
Many weapons
yes.
on this offense. And they all play together. And honestly, because I'm a lineman, I think it starts with the O-line. And, you know, they had two
Larson
leaders.
And Hardman.
Yeah, they had two leaders in Davin, Joseph, and Jeff Fain go down. But Jeremy Zuta has been great all year. He's played every position that we need him to play on the line. James Lee stepped in, and you had Larson come in, and Hardman came in, two rookies, now starting at left and right guard. And, I mean, it's great. Donald Penn has been great all year. He's worth every penny they paid him. And, you know, they do such a good job giving Free all the time he needs. But sometimes you can't block all day, and then that's where
his wheels
turns to the quarterback
sure.
to make a play. Freeman always finds a way to get that first down, make a play with his feet.
How'd you like that 2-point conversion? How'd you like that? I mean, you were. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
That was, that was very running back like,
if
you
will. Very running back ish.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you got a 6'6, 260 guy coming at you.
Driving the legs. Just moving the pile.
I don't care if he is a quarterback. That's hard to stop, all that momentum.
And Cadillac helping out, too. That's what I like about Caddy, man. He's got that savvy. Let's get to these callers. John, Todd, and Bill, we're coming right to you. Hang on, guys. Mike in Lakeland, you're on the Gerald McCoy Show.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Gerald, how you doing this evening?
All right, Mike, how you doing?
Great, thanks very much. I just have a simple message of appreciation for you, for your attitude, your profession of faith, the fact that you're not afraid to, you know, or hesitant to profess that faith publicly. And I just love the fact that you read your scripture over the air, and because of that, I now even have my wife listening to your show. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you for your message, as well as your football abilities, and, you know, in a world of negative press, it provides a positive note for our youth and gives them an athlete that they can actually look up to. So I just want to wish you the best and praying for a quick recovery for you.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that, and glad I could, you know, help you in some way. You know, the Bible tells us when you spread the gospel, you're supposed to expect results. So I don't do this just doing it. You know, I do it expecting to reach somebody. And clearly, from Mike's kind words, I am. So I'm doing what it is I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to continue to do it.
I thought Mike put some very good thoughts out there for people to consider.
Yeah, thanks,
on both sides of the football, if you know what I'm saying. Absolutely. Bill in Brooksville, you're up next with Gerald McCoy. Welcome, bro.
Hello.
Hey, Bill.
How you doing?
All
Gerald,
right.
You know, first off, I just want to say that I've been a Bucs fan since the very beginning. You know, and we had our ups and downs, and I'm just so impressed with your play. You have been an incredible inspiration for the team. And I really like the way things have been going for the Bucs. And only really one question, and let you talk about it, is how you think we're looking toward the playoffs and how well we're going to do. And thank you again. You're such a great player.
Thanks, Bill.
Good stuff, Bill. Appreciate the call.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, we control our own destiny right now with us getting 8 wins. But we have 3 more games, and us winning 11 would be great, you know, for our chances to get in the playoffs. And that's what we're looking for, you know, looking forward to. But, you know, we still in this race to 10. Well, now being at the top of the wild card race, we want to win out. And we're taking it one game at a time, starting with Detroit. Coaches, once again, are putting together a great game plan. They have to come to our house. And it's going to be tough to beat us here with how much fire we're going to come out with, knowing what the ultimate goal is in mind.
We had a lot of good fans show up last for that Atlanta game, let me tell you. By the way, not this week. We're going to think ahead 1 week real quick. The Seattle game has been flexed, if you will, by the NFL. It's a 4:15 start, so keep that in mind for anything surrounding your Buccaneer activities. Not this week coming up, but the following week. Also, consider the fact that you do have that game with Atlanta, with the Saints at the end of the season. If you guys do take care of business like you expect to do, that game could possibly be moved again. The bottom line is what I'm saying is you guys are getting a little bit more exposure,
Right.
Because you're starting to, you know, you're starting to win games. You're starting to, you know, fourth quarter comebacks, second half turnarounds, young teams starting to make plays, individuals with 100-yard receiving games, rushing games. E.J. Bigger steps up into the shoes of Aqib Talib. Myron Lewis steps into his shoes. Little by little, all these guys, these young guys, the downside of injury is you don't have your best players on the field. The upside of injuries is so many young players are getting reps. You know, big-time reps, and that's just going to play well for the future of the depth of the team.
And one just quick example before we go to John, it looks like.
Yep, John, then Todd.
Yeah, last year, back in college at OU, a lot of our guys got injured. We faced so many injuries. We lost Sam Bradford. We lost Jermaine Gresham. We lost a lot of guys due to injury. Well, you know, going into this year, everybody said, well, I wonder how the Sooners would be able to do those 4 first-round picks leaving and had so many experienced players left and all that. With us being so beat up last year, having so many injuries, it didn't do anything but help them play better this year. They had so many young guys.
Get your freshmen and sophomores some playing time,
Who got playing time last year. Mm-hmm. They came in this year. Nobody expected them to win the way they did, and they won a Big 12 championship. I mean – just because, you know, people got hurt, which you don't like, but it's helping guys grow, and they have to grow now, and it helps in the long run.
You said, like it said, it starts in the trenches, and, you know, Ted Larson Derek Hardman are another perfect reason for that. Go back to the phones up to Newport Richey. John, you're on with Gerald McCoy, bro.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing, Mr. McCoy?
What's up, John?
I just want to say congratulations on the season so far. I'm a big Bucs fan, big fan of yours.
Thanks.
And I just want to know, I know we're in the playoff scenario, guy just mentioned earlier, but what's going through your guys, like, and then the locker room, you know, with, you know, do you talk amongst everybody, and kind of, who's the leader stepping up inside that locker room and pushing you guys to that edge? Because nobody, like, honestly, everybody I talked to in Tampa thought, you know, because the Bucs, I know we're young now, that we don't have this, we don't have that, and we're proving every game that we do have it. And I just want to say, from being a Tampa fan, I'm humbled to see you guys every Sunday playing. It's just a shame that this blackout thing, you know, that's the only thing that found the downfall about everything, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, there's not just one person. Everybody's stepping up and trying to take it to the next level for these last 3 games with just this whole second half of the season. We come together as a family, doing it together, and that's going to take everybody that is playing, everybody that's not playing, including me and everybody else, stay positive and stay motivated to, you know, stay focused on that goal. But right now, our goal is Detroit, coming into our house, and we have to get a big win on them in order to continue on that road to the playoffs.
As much as we all want to pay attention to what the Giants or the Packers or the Eagles are doing, honestly, the bottom line is you take care of business on the field and you won't have to worry about them at all.
Right.
Because they're going to knock each other off. Todd, We're going to sneak in before we go to break. Thanks for calling the show, Todd.
Take me now?
Yeah, we got you, bro.
All right, great. Thanks. Two questions. First one's real quick, yes or no. Have you been out to the Pepsi Rookie of the Week voting for Ben? Wait.
For who?
Pepsi Rookie of the Week on NFL.com.
There
really is tennis out there.
Well, if he is, then that means I need to go vote.
Regis Ben is up there just like, boy, we've had so many guys. We had Mike Williams several times. I know we had LeGarrette last week, so we've had a lot of guys up for that.
Yep.
You too.
We
have.
Right.
Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Great. Second question for you, a little bit tougher. Glad to have you as the number one draft pick. Glad to have you in Tampa. But the number two draft pick is coming to town. Are we ready for this guy? Is he everything they talk about? And is our O-line prepared for whatever he's going to bring to the table?
Well, thanks, Todd. I'm a defensive player, and he plays defense, so I don't know. I mean, I'm worried about the offense, and, you know, he's having a great rookie season. I can answer that. But as far as our offense being ready, our offense is ready for anybody that comes into town or anybody we go face.
That's right.
We don't focus on one individual guy. You always know that, you know, they have great players. Like, we play the Steelers, you know you need to know where Troy Polamalu is.
We worry about his blocking schemes.
Right.
We'll worry about making sure if he needs to be double-teamed on a play, you double-team him. You treat him as a player just as you would anybody else.
He's any other guy coming into town, and, you know, he has had a great season. But offense will be prepared for anything that's thrown at him. But I'm a defensive guy, defensive-minded, and worried about the offense.
I'm sure that Greg Olsen is also concerned with people like Kyle VandenBosch as well. You know, nothing against Sue, but, you know, it takes four guys to make an offense, or three, depending on the scheme, to make an offensive line. Guys, we're going to hit a break and come back and do more of the Gerald McCoy Show. Don't forget, the Holiday Team store is open 3 to 8 for all your Christmas shopping. Believe me, jerseys all over the place. They got the really cool footballs that you can autograph that are like half leather and half white. You can put them under lights. They've got mini helmets, large helmets, jerseys, hats, you name it. Anything with Buccaneers on it, players, names, jerseys, they're all here for you at the Buccaneer Team Store. Of course, that's inside Raymond James Stadium, Dale Mabry's side, West Club entrance. We're here till 6. This club is open till 8. And then we'll also, of course, be broadcasting from here later in the week. We'll come back and finish up the Gerald McCoy Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
This is the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Buccaneers Total Access will wind down the next couple of minutes of the Gerald McCoy Show. Don't forget Donald Penn tomorrow night, and of course Josh Freeman on Thursday night, and Mike Williams will be our guest for Friday night's Buccaneers Total Access Show as we go into the Detroit game. But, you know, we've talked about early in the season, we talked about, you know, he had a sack and you didn't, and you kind of would face your adversity, and you went to your Bible for inspiration. And then as things started to get better, you also went to your Bible to talk about how you were handling that. And now we obviously, you know, with your torn bicep,
right.
You know, I want you to kind of just, you know, take it from there.
You know, on this show we always talk about family and how it's important to me, and, you know, how my faith plays a huge role in my life. Well, you know, I have this torn bicep, and my family want to be here for me. So my two sisters are in the back. Everybody give them a hand. They are here, and they're going to go with me to my surgery tomorrow because, like I said, we have a very tight-knit family. They want to be here for me. But, you know, my faith is very strong, and everybody wondered, how are you not down, not getting to finish your rookie season? And honestly, there's really no way I could get down. The closer I've grown to God this season, the stronger I've gotten. And my faith is my foundation, and that's the way that I keep going. A lot of guys, you know, you see guys in the winner's locker room, oh, they praise God, thank you, God, for this win. But, you know, then the guys will lose a game, and they won't do the same thing and won't have the same reaction. Well, me,
they're on Twitter, as a matter of fact, blaming them.
Some guys tweet about it, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, me, it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. Everything happens for a reason, and God is always good regardless. And what I want to say about that is this scripture I have pertaining to how God is always good and how everything happens for a reason, and just keep believing in him, is Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Whatever it is, whatever reason that my bicep got torn, it is what it is. God has a reason for why he did it. So I always pray, God, let your will be done in my life. Well, his will is for my bicep to be torn right now for me to learn something. I have to learn something, and that's what he does. And I'm living according to his will and his purpose, not mine. Well, just like I'm injured or whatever, there's a story about a guy named Job who was, you know, he believed in God regardless of what happened. And to make a long story short, God told the devil, if you want to tempt somebody or you want to see, you know, if somebody will turn their back on me, go to Job. And he took everything from Job. He took his family. He took all his wealth, everything he had. But what happened in the end, Job never turned his back on God. He never blamed God. And he had double what he had before. And, you know, I went back and read that and said, you know, the Bible also says there's nothing new under the sun. So Job went through it. Why can't I do it? Why would I turn my back on God? Job didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? And there's in Job 5:18, it says, and this talk about God, it says, for he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. So just like I was believing in God before when I started to play well, I'm going to believe in him now. Now that I'm injured, it's happening for a reason. You know, I pray for his supernatural healing on my body and my life, and I'm just going to keep sticking with him. And I always remember that God is good all the time.
You know, it's interesting. Go ahead. Absolutely. If you think, if you talk to Cadillac Williams about how much he loves the NFL and how much he enjoys playing in the NFL now, after two patella knee surgeries, two separate knees, he takes nothing for granted. And it's almost like you've been given so many physical tools. You've been given that. You've refined it. You're getting better at perfecting it. You're using it to earn a paycheck. But that's all your gift. It's your gift. What if your gift was sort of taken from you? Would you still want it? Would you still earn it? Would you still work hard for it?
Always.
And Cadillac Williams, every time you talk to him about football, his just face lights up.
Yeah.
It just lights up. And he realizes that every step he takes is modern surgery and his faith that kept him in that. And I think, you know, I'm not going to predict what God has in play for you, bro. I'm not there. But I'm also looking, going, this is adversity. You will rise above.
Always,
and I have no doubt.
Always
I have no doubt about
what's crazy
you
about that is, right before the game started, I was talking to two other rookies. And I told them, I said, everybody's looking at me like, why are you so excited for this game? I said, because I've been so stressed out this year over, well, I need to get sacks, well, the fans are backing me, whatever. And once I changed my mindset to focus on God's plan and what it is God has in store for me, my whole mindset changed. So I was just having fun doing what it is I was doing. I was bouncing around doing warm-ups. I could not wait for the game to start. And they said, well, what's going on? I said, look across that field. Do you see that that's Donovan McNabb over there? You know what I'm saying? I grew up watching this guy. Now I have a chance to sack him. I have a chance to play against him. Of course you need to be happy about that. Don't be so stressed out about whether I'm going to play well or whatever. You know how to play this game. Just go play. And that was my mindset. And right before we, you know, finished warming up, I told him, I said, I have four more games to be a rookie. You can't take that for granted. As soon as I said that, bam, I got injured. You see what I'm saying? You never know what's going to happen. So have fun while you have it.
Absolutely. Your sister says go hard. Don't you always tell them to go hard?
Yeah.
Is that what you say?
She just say,
do the impersonation. How does she say it? How does she say it?
Just go play. That's my sister. Yeah.
And he will. It's so great to see your family
love
here.
My sisters. Yeah, I love them.
Hey, bro, we're out of time. We'll talk to you next week. Everybody, thanks for coming on down.
Detroit.
And appreciate the phone calls. You got it.
Detroit, prepare yourself.
You got it.
You're
absolutely
coming into a war zone, baby.
Amen to that. Amen to that. We're coming back tomorrow night with more of your Buccaneers Total Access shows with Donald Penn. Always a great interview. Make sure you check it out. If you miss it, you can check all these shows out at Buccaneers.com. I'm Scott Ledger. Have a great night right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to The Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.